I hope you're well. We're starting a new sermon series, as I said a little earlier on, and this theme is going to keep us going up until September. It's a sermon theme called Who I Am in Christ, and it's about identity. It's about what God says about us according to Scripture. So it's really important that we know that we live that as Christians, because I have a huge sense that we don't know that. We don't know the identity that we have in Christ. So that's what we're going to be thinking about. In recent weeks, there's been a question every sermon to get us thinking about. And we've normally put our comments in the comments box. Today is a rhetorical question. You just need to think about it. So the question today is this: how do you introduce yourself to others? Think about that. When you're introducing yourself to others, how do you do it? Because I think that says a lot about what you think about yourself and where your priorities in how you see yourself is. And that does depend on where you are, in which context you're living in. If I'm at church and I'm introduced to somebody who's just come for the first time, I'd probably say, "Hello, I'm Louise and I'm the minister," because that fits there. Other places it might be, "Hello, I'm Louise, I'm Becca's mum or Paul's wife," or even, "Hello, I'm Louise, I'm from Yorkshire," because that's very important as well. We introduce ourselves by saying the things that we think of as important, and that's usually something we do. But that's what we do. That's not who we are. But so often we know, don't we, that what we do ends up being the definition of us. And that can get us into all sorts of pickles, because then our identity can be misplaced. What happens when we place our identity on our jobs and our jobs change, or we lose our jobs, or we're made redundant, or we become ill and we can no longer work? What happens when we retire? What happens when our children move home and we've spent all our lives identifying ourselves as our role as parent, perhaps? What happens when we've described and identified ourselves as something and that changes? The answer to who we are must be ultimately rooted in something that is more durable, something that does not change. Because who you are isn't defined by age or stage of life or job. It's defined by our source. And as Christian followers, our identity comes from who God says we are. I know in my life I have believed other things that have been said about me. Things based on descriptions and other people's opinions and labels that have not come from God, but have come from others. And some of you will know what that is like in your lives. And sometimes we put a lot of value in what other people have said and think about us. I think this quote says it well. Being consumed by what people think of you is the fastest way to forget what God thinks of you. And sometimes what's been said about us and over us, which incidentally, God's enemy Satan loves when we believe lies, sometimes that takes root and becomes part of how we see ourselves. And God does not want that. So together in this sermon series, we are spending time to be reminded from Scripture about what God says and thinks about his people. I liked this quote from J.L. Packer. J.L. Packer was an Anglican evangelical author and theologian who died on Friday at the age of 93. And it's a quote of its time, if you, for he, read she, or whatever feels comfortable for you. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. So, let's be thinking about who I am in Christ. And we'll be thinking about some of a handful of the things that God has said about us, starting off with, today I am a child of God. Later, we're going to be thinking about being forgiven and being a masterpiece and new in Christ, being more than conquerors and safe from the evil one and being a citizen of heaven. There are loads more we could have chosen, but those were the ones I picked because it's essential to know who we are as Christ followers. And that's important to live out in our walk with Jesus, so we know who we are. And more importantly, we know whose we are. And then there is freedom and life to live. So today we're thinking about being a child of God. And that's a term that gets thrown around all the time in church. So what does it mean? Most of us have a sense of what it means to belong to a family. We've all been born of fathers and mothers, whether we've met them or not. We've all been children. Some of us were adopted or fostered. All of us have got different experiences of being parented and family. But regardless of what that looks like, when we become Christians, when we start a journey to Jesus and we say yes to what he opens up for us through his life and his resurrection, and we say yes to being part of the family of God, something amazing happens. 1 John 3 verse 1 says this: see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We get a new title, the title of child of God. It is an identity that's conferred on us. It's lavished on us. What a great word. Not because of anything we do or anything we try to be, but because of God's action, because of what happens through Jesus Christ. And the first chapter of John's Gospel, verses 12 and 13, say this: yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of the human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Wow. All who receive him get the right to be a child of God, born of God. John says that core identity is birthed, not built. You might have had parents who planned and prepared for you by their will or decision, but that's not what defines us, says the Bible. What defines us is the action and choices of God. We don't will ourselves to be children of God. It's rooted in who he is, in the action of God to call us his. A God who says, you are not home yet until you are part of the family of God, because that is who you are created to be. And from day one, that was the plan. Genesis says this: let's make humankind in our image, in our likeness. Right from the beginning, God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, set about to mark us as people who would be image bearers of God. Think about that. You are the image bearer of God. I am the image bearer of God. were made and created to bear the nature of God, to be his child, to reflect his glory, which creation does. But into your biological life, you're given God's unique image to bear, given his spirit breathed into us, his love lavished on us. We become children of God through flesh and through spirit. That's amazing, isn't it? That the one who made the cosmos loves us so much. We're created to be children of God. That is our spiritual nature. That is the plan, to be co-heirs, to be stewards of nature with God himself. But from the beginning, it didn't go quite to plan. If you know anything about the story in the Bible of the big picture of God's dealings with humanity, you'll know that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, who represent humankind, make choices of their own. They make choices through their actions and their decisions and their will to leave the family home that had been created for them and to go their own way. And they wandered away from their identity. You are a child of God. You might not want to be called a child of God if you've stopped being a child. No one wants to be a child when they're a teenager. And perhaps it's not the most comfortable title for a grown-up. But being a child of God is not about a stage of life. It's about a source. It's about whose you are. It's about the Father. Romans 8 says this: "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." God's Spirit declares we're his. We're not slaves, we're adopted. Now, I know something about being adopted because I am adopted myself. When adoption works well, a child is given a new name, a new future, a security, and a place. That should be the story. But greater than any human adoption is our spiritual adoption. Every one of us who have started the journey towards Jesus and follow him as Lord and Saviour, that, wow, is our story. We've been hearing about that every morning thought this week. People's stories of that journey of faith. And Galatians 4 reminds us of that. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're his child, God made you also an heir. Wow. So not only are we adopted, not only are we no longer slaves, we're children and we're heirs. When you're an heir, you inherit everything. In Roman culture, when Paul wrote this verse, children inherited the wealth of their parents and they received the full effects of the family name, honour, the full effects of the responsibilities and traditions and position and power. The same is true for us spiritually. We are heirs, so we inherit all that is part of the family name. Everything that exists in the perfect planning of the Father God is ours. Life as it should be, life as it will be one day when there's no pain and no death and no suffering. We inherit a family home in heaven. We inherit all that Jesus had. We inherit so much more. It's so much better than winning the lottery. It's the best inheritance we could ever have. Christ created you. God created you to be his. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. And he is waiting for us to come home to him. For Christ came to lead us home. Jesus makes a way for that to happen on the cross by taking on himself all the sludge of sin, all the mess we make when we live without him in our lives. And he takes that mess on himself so that we can be forgiven and we don't have to carry it ourselves anymore. And he makes us family. He takes all that on himself so that we have the right to become children of God. His love for us and his commitment to us is steadfast, even if we mess up. So this afternoon, if you mess up spectacularly, and I hope that you don't, through Jesus, we are family. You are still loved, still forgiven, still his. So when we face decisions and situations, which we do every day, when we feel defeated or unloved or alone or neglected or overlooked or full of sin, whatever, remind yourself that you are a child of God. You are chosen. You have a family name that is greater than what others say about you. Your family identity and the life that goes with that is yours for the living. You are a child of God. If you are not part of this family because you've not said your yes to following Jesus, and you want to be, well, that offer is open to you. It's a free deal made on the cross, but it's an opt-in deal. We all need to say our yes, and we opt in with our life. It's a life and it's a follow opt-in to be part of God's family. If you want to do that, then get in touch with us and we will help you make that step that will change your life forever as it's changed ours. Today, be reminded that you are a child of God, someone who God in Jesus has died to save. A child of God.